Backlogs seem to be the bane of the government's existence. Now a new backlog has emerged. Applications for asylum in the United States. Applications have doubled over the past 5 years, and now the backlog stands at more than 100,000. Those findings in a new report from the Government Accountability Office. Joining me with more on this challenge for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Rebecca Gambler, Director on the GAO's Homeland Security and Justice Team. Ms. Gambler, great to have you on.
Thank you for having me on, Tom.
All right, so give us what's going on here, because immigration seems to be taking, the problems with immigration seem to be taking many forms these days. Asylum seekers, what's unique there and what's going on for USCIS and I guess also the Justice Department?
Yes, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, or USCIS, as well as immigration courts that are housed within the Department of Justice have responsibility for reviewing or adjudicating asylum applications. And in our report that we issued in early December, we looked at the extent to which both of those entities have policies and processes in place to detect and prevent potential fraud among asylum applications. And we found there were a number of areas in which USCIS, as well as the courts, could improve their efforts.
Are there any particular countries or areas that have the most of these types of applications? I mean, you hear about Syria now, and there's persecution from all angles going on there. Everybody's persecuting everybody, or is it other places also?
In terms of what have been some of the top countries from which asylum seekers have come in recent years, those countries include China, Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. So asylum seekers can be from any country.
So fraud would be if they're not really persecuted, but they're trying to get in under that particular rubric.
That's right. There would be something about their claim that is fraudulent that would make them ineligible for asylum.
So it looks like from your report that the agencies are able to look at an individual case and maybe determine if it's fraudulent, but they can't gauge across all of the data that they have to try to find the trends in fraud?
That's right. A number of the key findings from our report were associated with the ability of the immigration courts and USCIS to be able to detect patterns or indicators of fraud across the asylum processes. And one of the key findings and recommendations we made to both USCIS as well as the immigration courts were for both of those entities to conduct regular risk assessments of what the potential fraud possibilities are to better position both agencies to make sure that they have the right tools in place to detect and prevent fraud, and also that they're using their resources efficiently and effectively.
So in other words, if they had that capability, they could get an earlier view of where fraud might be, and they could be more efficient at finding out where it is when it actually happens?
That's right, and making sure that they have the right tools in place for when fraud may occur to be able to detect and prevent it.
And just by way of a little process here, you have USCIS, and then you also have a unit in the Justice Department. That's where the court component comes in, and how do the two interoperate?
So USCIS reviews or adjudicates asylum applications that individuals who are in the United States directly make to the agency. In comparison, the immigration courts adjudicate asylum applications that are made by aliens who are already within the court process, which is called being in removal proceedings. And in that case, the courts are hearing asylum claims that are being made by individuals as a defense against potentially being ordered removed from the United States.
We're speaking with Rebecca Gambler. She's a director on the GAO's Homeland Security and Justice Team. All right, so they both need, I guess, similar tools to be able to predict where fraud might occur. Everything now is done by paper process and manual forms?
That's particularly true, Tom, for USCIS. One of the key findings in our report was that USCIS does rely on paper-based processes to adjudicate asylum applications, and that it would be helpful for USCIS to have additional tools that would help them be able to better detect potential fraud patterns across asylum applications.
Would that include maybe automating the asylum process? Because let's face it, the agency has, and Homeland Security in general, has not had a great record in automating the many hundreds of forms that it uses in the whole immigration process.
That's right. Certainly having some more automated types of tools would help USCIS in their efforts to detect potential indicators of fraud across asylum applications.
So is there anything they can do in the short term? Because that's a years-long project, I imagine.
There are some other actions that we found USCIS could take to improve their ability to address fraud in the process. One of those things related to training that USCIS provides to asylum officers who adjudicate asylum applications. As it relates to training, we found that there was pretty limited training for both new officers as well as current officers on asylum issues, and we recommended that USCIS provide additional training on asylum fraud to asylum officers. And we also recommended that USCIS should regularly seek input from its asylum officers on what their training needs are.
So, in other words, Justice Executive Office for Immigration Review and USCIS could both use similar knowledge and similar tools if they could get them.
That's right. Our findings as it related to better training on asylum fraud were more specific to USCIS, but it's certainly the case that for both agencies, having more information that could help asylum officers or immigration judges adjudicate asylum applications and be aware of potential fraud that could be in the process, having that information would be more helpful.
Review some of the numbers for us. How many people apply every year? How come the backlog is growing so much? And do they detect any fraud now?
Since fiscal year 2010, the number of total asylum applications made to both USCIS and the courts have increased by about 130%. In fiscal year 2014, asylum applications to the courts and to USCIS totaled over 100,000, and that includes both the principal applicant as well as any eligible dependents. With regard to the backlog, Tom, as of September 2015, that backlog was over 100,000, and there were a few factors that USCIS identified for why the backlog exists. And the primary factor they identified was their diversion of resources from hearing asylum applications to hearing claims for some other types of benefits to include reasonable and credible fear cases. We also heard from USCIS that the growth in the number of asylum applications over time has contributed to the backlog.
So they've got a resource problem as well as a process problem in the way they carry out the whole thing.
That's right. And USCIS does have plans in place to hire additional asylum officers, which should be helpful to them in terms of beginning to address the backlog. And in terms of the process piece, the recommendations that we made in our report in terms of having more training and additional tools to detect potential indicators of fraud would help USCIS be better positioned to identify fraud when it occurs and prevent or address it in those cases.
And this is really an important mission. I mean, one of the strengths of the United States is because it does give people asylum that are subject to persecution. This is something they really need to get right.
That's right. And our report really goes to helping USCIS in particular be able to contribute to maintaining the integrity of the asylum system. And maintaining the integrity of the asylum system, Tom, really comes down to two things. One, making sure that individuals who have legitimate claims to asylum are not wrongfully returned to their country. But the second aspect is also making sure that those individuals who have a fraudulent claim are not granted asylum and allowed to stay in the U.S. And those two pieces together go to ensuring the overall integrity of the system.
Rebecca Gambler is director on the GAO's Homeland Security and Justice team. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.